darkness has descended on Berlin, but this, the Berlin Olympic Stadium, is lit up because the women in the 100 metres final are just about to be presented to the crowd.
In a world where numbers are quite literally worth their weight in gold, three hold a mystique.
There's more than 20,000 people filling this Berlin Olympic Stadium tonight.
It's often hailed as magical, even perfect, as expressed in the Latin phrase, omne trium perfectum. And after her unforgettable performances at the Berlin European Championships in 2018, doubtless Dina Asher-Smith agrees.
Well, Asher-Smith out very quickly, so too can Bungie, but Asher-Smith now really starting to get into a running, tearing away from the rest of the field. It's Asher-Smith all the way through to the line over the final 20 metres, coming through very strongly for second. Gina Luckenkamper gets Germany a medal, but it's Dina Asher-Smith. And just look at that time, it's a new British record, unofficially 10.85, equaling the world lead of Marie-José Talua of Ivory Coast.
The British sprinting star took gold in the 100 metres, 200 metres and carried home her country in the final leg of the 4x1 relay to complete a memorable hat-trick.
And when I crossed the line, I saw 10.85, which is the time I'm grateful that I've done more than once now. But at that time, 10.85 was a really big breakthrough. I just remember being like, oh my word, that's like a serious sprinter time. Like, that's like I can win Diamond Leagues, I can be a global medalist kind of time. And that was actually my first championships ever at a senior level doing the 100 metres, because I'd normally been like a 200 girl up until then. I remember, yeah, it was my first championships and I came out and ran a 10.8. I was so happy.
In her individual sprints, Asher-Smith relied solely on her own prowess. Yet, in the relay, her teammates depended on her to deliver once again. And deliver she did in the most remarkable fashion.
Well, Asher Philipp away very quickly, already trying to gain a little bit on Daphne Skipper, who in turn is up on the Swiss team. Good handovers from Great Britain and the Netherlands. Germany also
the British
well
team were
moment.
Fourth in that final handover before Asher-Smith came back at her Dutch, German and Swiss rivals well, to roar home to victory and complete a hat-trick of successes.
Well, Dina Asher-Smith taking over in fourth has a bit to do, but she's really rocketing down the home straight. Dina Asher-Smith is on her way to a third gold medal. Great Britain and Northern Ireland, the Netherlands and Germany. That's gold, silver and bronze. What a championships for Dina Asher-Smith. Well, Naomi Sedney ran a fantastic last leg.
This is Ignite, a podcast series from European Athletics, telling the personal stories of athletes as they count down to Rome 2024. As the European Championships in Rome approach, followed by the Olympic Games in Paris, Britain's Dina Asher-Smith aspires to replicate her remarkable feats from Berlin, despite experiencing a series of highs and lows in the intervening years. She seeks to once again savour the emotions of standing atop the podium, crowned as the Queen of European Sprinting.
Felt great. I remember feeling very tired and I remember thinking, wow, I've still got the 200 to go. I'm exhausted. But it felt really special because, I think I'd won Europeans before. I think I won Euros when I was even younger. I won it in 2016. So I had a European gold. It wasn't my first European gold, but it felt really special. I think because it was a new in inverted commas event for me. And I'd run an amazing time, I'd performed under pressure, and I was just so happy. But I do remember being on the podium and taking in the moment. My parents were there, everybody was there, it was so great. I remember just thinking, like, okay, I really want to feel this again, especially with the 200. And that was the one that I really, really, really wanted, because firstly, I was reigning champion, so I had it before. And I really wanted to run 21 seconds, and I had it at that point. So I remember being on the podium, obviously enjoying the moment, but definitely had one eye on the next race.
The closest she's come to emulating Berlin was in Germany 4 years later, after the Paris Championships were cancelled due to the pandemic. This time, the venue was Munich. But the golden girl of Berlin had to make do with silver in the 200 metres this time round.
So Asher Smith in the centre, the defending champion. What kind of shape is she in? Struggled with cramp in the 100 metres and pulled up, but going well so far. Kambunji in the red of Switzerland trying to challenge now with Williams and others well back. The battle though, Kambunji against Asher Smith. Switzerland just leading. Is Asher Smith going to come through? No, Kambunji is the European 200 metre champion. What a performance from someone who really, 8 years ago in Zurich, became a big name. And her performances on the world stage have got better and better. And now she has the gold medal she craves. The one she was so close to getting in the 100 final. Making amends as she breaks out into a smile. 22-32 to beat Dina Asher-Smith and stop the Briton from getting three consecutive European titles in a row. That's some performance from Kambunji.
The last European Championships, I did not have a good one. Long story, it's done. Munich's done. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm very, very excited for this Europeans. Like, I really just, I have very big goals for myself and very big aspirations of what I want to run, especially when I run the 100 and how I want to run it and how I want to win it. So I'm very excited for that championships. I was definitely very frustrated in Munich. It just was not a fab championship for me. Like, I came off Eugene running like almost 10.7 and 21 in the semi, getting a global bronze, and then I had not a fab Munich. Like, in hindsight, me and my team, we know why. I'm not gonna go into further detail, but at the time, kind of just living it and experiencing it didn't really make sense for me, because like, I was like in PB shape. So I was just like, this is very strange. Like, this is not the European Championships I envisaged for myself. But, you know, end of story. Like, that's that really. So did not go the way I wanted it to. Did not go the way that I think, yeah, I wanted it to. So this time I would like it to go the way that I want it to. Please.
Like many British athletes, Asher Smith owes much of her success to the legendary coach, John Blackie. Recognising her talents at a young age, Blackie guided her through the formative years of her career, culminating in her triumph at the Berlin Championships.
I've always said that I'm just so lucky to have met John. Like, he absolutely changed my life. Like, I was so lucky to have somebody who was so selfless, so obviously so intelligent and so good at what they did, but also had integrity and is so selfless and set me up with lots of key skills, not only for athletics and sport and how to navigate that and perform under pressure and all those boring sporty headlines, but also as life, as a young woman, how to treat people that you work with and just really, because I was with him from when I was 8 years old, he really molded me into the person that I am today. And even though now I've very recently just moved, when people like talk to me about John, I have absolutely no qualms or hesitations in underlining how I would not be here today without his hard work and the skills and the characteristics that he's instilled in me. Because I do think I'm always going to be his athlete, just as I'm always going to be an athlete of Edric Floréal. Like, I believe that it's a journey and you learn from each place that you've been. So, for me, I'm just, so grateful for John. I love John to bits, and he's probably more like a member of my family at this point than like a past coach. But it's very difficult to put into words or a neat soundbite how much he's just impacted my life and how grateful I am. that I met him and that I happened to rock up to that cross country that day. And I was very fortunate that he was like, please come and sprint. I was like, thank you for taking me away from the mud.
And now with a new approach to her sprinting, Asha Smith has relocated to Texas in the United States, where she bids to give her career a boost and deliver more medals. And it's a rather fitting move, the Lone Star State, for an athlete who's chosen a sport which is all about the individual.
Yeah, I'm really excited for both the Europeans and the Olympics this year. They're very big. Obviously, the Olympics is, I was about to say, it's a very big mark on my calendar, but obviously that goes about saying both Europeans and Olympics are huge markers on my calendar this year. And Mubejic Floreal, he's just got so many athletes that have done incredible things in the past. Like when you look at his resume, he's had world record holders, Olympic gold medalists, Olympic finalists, blah, blah, blah. And whether they did that with him or they've done that under 4 or 5 years of his tutelage when they were in their collegiate days, I think that his resume is just incredible. It's one of the ones that I think when I was doing all my research, it was really kind of one of the ones in sport that, well, the sport that we don't necessarily highlight too much, which I was like, I was astounded to find out like who had trained under him at some point. Like it was insane. So I'm really excited to follow the season and see my development. We're definitely pushing, I think for me, it's pushing the ideas of what I thought I could do and what I was capable of, because obviously I've been inside my body for a while, which sounds crazy, but I have, obviously. But he's come to me with like a fresh set of eyes. So he is seeing all these things that I hadn't even really considered for myself. Like if you told me this time last year I was going to split a 51-400, like a 4x4 leg, and be happy but also annoyed that I didn't like take it out a second quicker because I could have made a second up, like I would have laughed at you, you know, because I was very happy doing the 1, the 2, the 4x1. So for me, I think it's about challenging, with Edric, I think it's about challenging my own expectations and dreams and aspirations for myself and really being limitless in what I see for myself and also limitless in my pursuit of them. And yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
So as she prepares for the European Championships in the eternal city of Rome, the question remains, can she replicate her Berlin success before heading to the Olympics?
I love Rome. I love doing the Rome Diamond League. That stadium is beautiful with all the statues in the warm-up area. I think they just had it resurfaced. And the football stadium is so historic. And Rome is like a beautiful city anyway. Like everybody's really excited that Europeans is in Rome. We're like, oh no, what a shame. I have to go to Rome for a few days before the Olympics. Oh no, woe is me, you know? It's going to be great. And Europeans is huge. I think that it is one of our favorite championships because track and field is so popular and so loved in Europe. And when you're inside the stadium at a European Championships, the kind of atmosphere can feel very much like a World Championships, like with the passion from the fans and the caliber of the performances. Like it's tough to be a European Championships champion is not easy. And I love Europeans and I'm definitely looking to do well in the 100 there. So yeah. I'd love to be Olympic champion. I'm really excited for Paris, and particularly coming into it with a new setup, a new coach, and kind of like new aims and aspirations. I'm really excited to take, yeah, a slightly different mindset towards things and just really try and do something incredible. So yeah, I'm truly excited for Paris. Again, like European Championships and a European Olympics, like we're very, very, very lucky to have these two humongous events as European athletes. And it's definitely going to be something that we're all just going to look to be hugely successful in, you know? And I know that lots of my friends from home can easily like watch both of them. So yeah, that's great for me as well.
But whatever happens, she knows success isn't always easy to come by with so much happening around athletes as they prepare to run their way into the history books.
You know, half the time, especially at Diamond Leagues, like you'd be shocked. You know, the first thing I always tell athletes that like, particularly if they're about to make that transition from good junior or good kind of just getting into professional to being a regular on the Diamond League circuit. I'm like, guys, you got to be ready for anything. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, all this nice time at championships that you get to prep and it's all orderly and stuff. Diamond League, they'll rush you on the track. Mondo breaks a world record. You got to stand there and wait. You're getting cold or you're getting too hot. A fan, there's a flag that's thrown in your lane. Then they're suddenly like, right, TV's late, you know, we got to go now. Just put your blocks in, stand behind your blocks, you're going to go. So no run out with the blocks. And I'm standing there, the flag's still in my lane. And I'm like, I really hope the marshal sees that flag and moves it. And then next thing, they're introducing you on TV. You got a smile. And then you're like, right, okay, what did my coach tell me to do again? So then I'm thinking about what I got to do. And then I'm still looking. Real story, because in Oregon World Championships, I was in lane 9. There was a flag in my lane until literally like... the final as well. I remember being like, I know I'm in lane 9, but can they move this flag out my lane? Like, it's rude. I mean, am I going to have to like avoid this flag in a world championship final? Like, guys. But that's a Diamond League version though, where there's often like so much more, chaos is the wrong word, but there's just so much going on if you're not really locked into the moment. Like the whole courtroom race, start, go, finish, results will just go past in a blur. And then like an hour later, you'll be like, did I just do that race? So yeah, sometimes when you're on the blocks, you're just very, especially if it's a Diamond League, you're trying to focus because there can be a lot going on. The crowd can be noisy. You have to remember like, okay, it's a star. Is it a man or a woman? Like, am I, whose voice am I listening for? Because particularly when you're in Rome, actually, Rome is probably the loudest European stadium. Like, it's so loud, like, and Rabat as well. Like, you have to be on the blocks and be really listening because the crowd is talking through your star. So there's always a lot going on. But the normal version, a world championship final, Olympic final, that kind of version is actually much more clean cut, because you know, that one, that it's a bit more, the time's a bit more protected. So for me, as I said before, I have cues kind of going into the race, but whether, if I'm tired, then it's really focused on picking myself back up and picking myself up and making sure that I truly commit and give absolutely everything I have. Like every drop of anything I've got goes into that race, that start, and setting up the best run that I can be. But if I'm kind of a little bit anxious or something, it's about calming me down, making sure that I'm fluid, making sure that everything is deliberate but like controlled, and that I'm not gonna get flustered by anything that's going on around me. So I make sure that I stick to my race plan. So can be one of those two emotions or things, whichever one it is. I have like a little routine that I do going into the blocks. I can do it with my eyes closed. I tread on the blocks, make sure they're in the ground, because so you know they don't slip, because as I said, I'm clumsy. So tread on them, make sure that they don't move, because that would be an incredible Dina thing to do, even though it hasn't happened yet, touch wood. And then get into my blocks, make sure that I'm feel primed like a little coil, and I'm ready to go. And then I kind of pick a point on the track and zone out. I try to not like listen for the gun. I just try and think about what I'm gonna do in 3, 4, 5 steps time, because I find that you're actually a quicker starter when you just feel, especially the first few steps, you just feel it and you just go, as opposed to trying to overthink something unless your coach has given you a specific cue for the first few steps. So typically I will try and be thinking about what I'm doing at 10 meters or 30, 40 meters, and I just focus on getting there, and then I start thinking about my cues. That's particular to the 100 though as well, because yeah, I just think it's easier to focus on something slightly further down than the first bit, because that's always like a lot going on, as I said, with the examples from the Diamond League and flag in the lane. And typically I am very focused though.
Well, Asher Smith out very quickly, so too can Bungie, but Asher Smith now really starting to get into a running, tearing away from the rest of the field. It's Asher Smith all the way through to the line over the final 20 metres, coming through very strongly for second. Gina Luckenkamper gets Germany a medal, but it's Dina Asher Smith. And just look at that time, it's a new British record, unofficially 10.85, equaling the world lead of Marie-José Talua of Ivory Coast. We'll be right back.
This has been a Highway 61 production for European Athletics. Full details for this series can be found in our show notes, but also visit european-athletics.com for all the latest news and ticket information ahead of Rome 2024.